Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Scott McCoy is the man of many bands. He was a founding member of Seattle's indie band, The Young Fresh Fellows. They even worked with the one and only Butch Vig literally days before he produced Nirvana's Nevermind. Or you may have even seen him on stage if you saw rock legends R.E.M. on tour during the last decade. Now Scott has teamed up with R.E.M.'s lead guitarist, Peter Buck, for a new band called The No Ones. The No Ones are a bi-continental collaboration that cover a lot of ground, both geographically and musically. Their latest album is called My Best Evil Friend. Scott joins us now to talk about the highlights of his prolific music career and a recent health scare that nearly sidelined it all.
I was on tour with Alejandro Escovedo and the Minus Five. So it was an amazing tour. We were having a really great time, and we had a day off in San Francisco, my favorite city where I used to live and everything. And I was walking down the street, and suddenly all the strength sucked out of me, and I was sliding down into the street and just lying there, and I couldn't talk or anything. And some people stopped and called a 911, and they took me to the hospital, and then they took me to another hospital, and it wasn't a lot of fun.
No, and they thought the two good Samaritans that helped you out, they thought you had a seizure, right?
Yeah, they did, which kind of set it off in the wrong direction, because the doctor at the first hospital insisted that I was a drug casualty and wouldn't put me in for an MRI and didn't identify that it was a stroke, which I feel like should have been really obvious that that's what it was.
Yeah.
They finally found out who I was, and Peter Buck came down and was kind of reading him the riot act. Like, he finally did an MRI and he's like, oh yeah, he's had a stroke. And, you know, I couldn't talk for a few days. I was paralyzed on one side. And I mean, I guess in the long run, I'm really lucky, because I'm still fairly functional. I'm not at the level I was before that, but, you know, I can't complain because I'm here and I can still write songs and I can play guitar, sort of.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. During when you were recovering, how did that go? Like, remembering guitar chords, remembering how to play and how to write songs and lyrics, how did that go?
Well, Peter brought a guitar in and put it in my lap when I was like after three days after or something like that. And I couldn't talk. I couldn't form any words or anything at that point. But I put my hand on the guitar and I made a chord, so I knew that was still there. I hadn't forgotten how to play guitar, because that happens with some people, like Dave Davies of the Kinks had to relearn guitar. It was my speech center is the part of the brain that got killed, you know. I can't remember words now. It's harder for me to write lyrics and stuff like that, but you know, I manage.
That's great. Yeah. You're lucky, and we're lucky too. We benefit from that as well. Your band, The No Ones, has a new album out called My Best Evil Friend. Can you tell us about this album?
The No Ones is a couple of guys from Norway who Peter and I met in various doing festivals over there and being friends with some of the same people and same bands. And Frodo, one of the singer-songwriters from the band, was sending me a couple of tracks to add bass on, basically. And he was kind of singing on them, going, la-da-da-da-da. And I was like, I said, well, do these songs have words to them? And he's like, well, not really, kind of, but not really. And he goes, do you want to write them? And I was like, sure, I'll try that. So it's made it more of a collaboration, and we thought, well, let's call it a band.
We are your band. Join with us. Bring the land, our magic bus. We were two in love with love. No, still water to sky above.
Several songs on this new album are about being in a band, and I think you must hold the record for the various bands you've been in and still are a member of. Is this why so many songs have this theme?
So, I mean, with the Young Fresh Fellows, my first real band, we did a lot of that right from the very get-go. We were singing about being in a band when we weren't even really a band at that point, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And so I kind of really took it to the ultimate place with this latest No One's record. But the No One's record was a little bit more about being a fan of music than being, partly about being in bands, but it's also more about being a fan of music and being how music has always been there in my life, and going way back to when I was, you know, eight or 9 years old when I first heard rock and roll, and mm-hmm. and that's made me what I am today, mm-hmm. you know. So
exactly. Let's rewind to 1984 when you and your fellow Young Fresh Fellows released their debut album, The Fabulous Sounds of the Pacific Northwest. It's a spectacular album, and one of the things that makes it so distinctive is the way you use the sound clips from a phone company promo record. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was a record that Chuck Carroll, the original guitarist of the Young Fresh Fellows, had found that record, and we just thought it was super funny because we had just moved to Seattle, and so we were sending this tape to all our friends and kind of, you know, making fun of the fact that we were in Seattle and we really loved it there, but we thought it was a really a hilarious way to kind of say hello to our friends and to introduce the songs.
Well, now you know the score here in the Pacific Northwest. Uh-oh, here's one we missed.
The whole record to me is just so funny to me because it sounds like people didn't know how to make a record because we didn't. And it sounds like it's kind of like a toy band in a way. Like it's really tiny sounding and everything's really, really fast and mm-hmm. there's kind of no bass on the record. But that's
why is that? Because you played bass on it, and was it just that the bass level wasn't mixed high enough, or
we just didn't notice. Mm. You know, we just like, wow. In the next record, you know, Topsy Turvy comes on, and it's like, wow, it sounds like a real band, you know, because I guess we figured it out what was happening there, and Conrad Uno, our producer, must have figured. Again, he was a bass player too, and he always mixes the bass. And drums really loud, but he hadn't figured that out yet. We were just beginners,
right? But you don't sound like you sound like you're kind of like you, the band sounded good. You sounded like to me anyway. You sounded like you knew what you were doing. That's why, you know,
we were rocking, and we had a very energetic drummer in Tad Hutchison.
So yes,
he kind of drove everything.
Yeah. And you mentioned this song, That Letter, and that's one of my favorite sort of deeper cuts on the album, although I like every song in the album is great. But that one, I've been thinking about it, I've been listening to it more often recently, and I'm guessing it's a reference to Nathaniel Hawthorne's The Scarlet Letter?
Yes, it is.
It is indeed, and it took me a for the longest time, like when the album originally came out, that didn't occur to me.
Well, you know, I'm just such a very literate writer, of course.
Yes, yes, you are. Yeah, I'm way behind you, Scott, way behind, yeah. In March 1991, you recorded an album called Electric Bird Digest here in Madison, Wisconsin at Smart mm-hmm. Studios, which, of mm-hmm. course, unfortunately no longer exists. And Butch Vig produced this album just a couple of months before he produced Nirvana's iconic Nevermind album. How did Butch shape the sound of Electric Bird Digest?
Well, he was just amazing to work with. We had heard a lot of stuff he did with like Killdozer and Urge Overkill and the Tad record, Eight-Way Santa, I think it was. And we really liked the sound he got, and we thought let's see how much it would cost to do it. And he was really reasonable, and we thought let's go out there and do it. Let's make an adventure out of it. So. We hadn't actually met him or anything, and we went out there and just had a ball because he was just our kind of person, you know. He's just really a lot of fun and not too serious, but very serious about getting good sounds and getting good performances and stuff like that. But still, it was just so much fun working with him. And it was, he had like 2 weeks off between making Gish with Smashing Pumpkins and then doing Nevermind by Nirvana. So he squeezed us into the 2 weeks he had off between those two bands. And it was just an amazing, amazing experience. We loved that studio. We loved Butch. We went back on the next record and made like, did four songs with him, but he was really, really busy and getting really outrageous offers at that point. But he still made time for us and gave us a good deal. So he's a great, great guy. Great guy. I love him.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the song Swiftly But Gently, which appears on the Electric Bird Digest album. I think it's my favorite song on the album, and it's not, in my way of thinking, it's not a typical Young Fresh Fellows song. Can you tell us the origin story behind this one?
It really is not at all a typical song. I'm surprised we got it on the record because I guess I just really liked it, and I didn't really even come up with much of a song. It was just a line that I just kept kind of going over in my head.
Swiftly.
We were a fun time rock and roll band, but you know, we always liked other kinds of songs too. You know, we like, I mean, you know, I that's why I ended up doing forming the Minus Five, was because I wrote so many slow and kind of quiet downer songs that we couldn't really put more than one or two of those per record on the Fellows, you know.
Yeah.
But we always did like to have the mood shifters on the Fellows records too, you know. So I think that was a perfect one for that record.
In 1994, you worked with REM in the studio and live in concert. How did this happen?
Well, Peter and I had gotten to be pretty good friends over the years. I mean, we just started playing music together because he likes to play music all the time, as do I. And so at that point, the Fellows weren't doing a lot. And Peter was getting revved up to go back on tour with REM after 5 years. And they wanted to have an auxiliary musician. And he thought I would be good for it because I can play bass and guitar and keyboards, and I'm not a real hotshot on any of them because they didn't really want hotshot musicians. They didn't, you know, they just wanted somebody who could be versatile and open to various things. So I auditioned and it worked out really well, and I stayed with them for 18 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have a favorite song? Like when you were performing with them in concert on stage, was there one song in particular that you, or maybe two songs that you especially enjoyed playing?
Oh, there are so many. Mm-hmm. There's so many. I mean, some of them were ones that were nerve-wracking for me, but I really loved them. Like Tongue was one that I played organ on that I kept thinking I would mess it up because I had to learn a different style of playing on that. But I loved playing that song. And Circus Envy was one that I just really loved because it's just like a thrash and rocker. And of course, we didn't play it that much.
This song has not been performed in at least 12 years. Until this afternoon, we went through it once.
So many songs at the end, all the stuff off Accelerate. I love the song Accelerate. Horse with Water, you know, just, I love that we got really back to being really a thrash and rock band at the end, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I love doing all the big Beach Boys kind of ballads and stuff like that were amazing too. Mm-hmm. So, it was just, I got nothing bad to say about it.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's all you can ask. Yeah. Scott McCoy. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you very much for all of the fantastic music you've created over the years. I'm looking forward to future music from you.
Oh man, it's great to talk to you. You're very very knowledgeable.
Scott McCoy is the man of many bands, including the No Ones, the Young Fresh Fellows, the Minus Five, and formerly of REM. Find out more at WPR.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta.
They have a lot of zany stuff on this program, don't you think?
Thanks to our guests, Jenna Friedman, Mickey Dolenz, and Scott McCoy. Listen to the show again or binge past episodes with our podcast. Beta is available to follow on Spotify or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And you can keep up with us during the week online at WPR.org/beta.
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
Once somebody feels confident in who they are, there's no stopping them.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
You look like you're in your mid-40s.
And thanks to you, our alphas. More Beta comes your way next week. Until then, I'm Doug Gordon.
Have you gotten any admirers from the show?